It's good to see each and every one of you this morning. We do have a good crowd, and I'm encouraged by the presence of those who regularly worship here at Warfield Boulevard. And of course, we're appreciative of our visitors as well, and we hope that you'll have an opportunity to come back this evening at 6 p.m. We invite you to come back. I wanted to mention that we've been going through the book of 1 Thessalonians, and I appreciate that study and those who have been teaching that study. And one of the most twisted passages in the denominational world would be 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, with regard to Jesus coming back and taking up the righteous into heaven with him. And that's been twisted by many to teach an alleged rapture. And so this evening we want to talk about that religious teaching of the rapture and compare that with Bible truth. And so if that is something that would be of interest to you, we would encourage you to come back this evening for that. In the scripture reading that Luke had just a moment ago, there in Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, you'll notice that the word success was used twice there. God wants us to be successful. God wanted Joshua to be successful. And this morning, I want us to consider from God's word his formula for success, and we're going to be looking at the book of Deuteronomy. If you'll turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1 this morning in your Bibles, in just a moment we will be looking from that great book of Deuteronomy. But God wants us to be successful. And I want us to consider this morning from God's word his formula for that success. Contrary to the belief of some out in the world, God actually wants us to succeed. He doesn't want us to fail. He doesn't want us to fall. He doesn't want our marriages to crumble and fall apart. He wants our marriages to be successful. He doesn't want them to end in some ungodly divorce in a broken home. He wants our marriages to be successful. He wants our parenting and the raising of our children to be successful. He doesn't want broken homes. He's not up in heaven hoping that that's going to happen. He wants our faith to be successful and go all the way through life and go to heaven. He wants us to be with him in heaven. He's not up in heaven looking for us to slip and fall and make mistakes so that he can punish us. He wants us to be successful. He wants the local congregation to be successful. He doesn't want division and strife and problems. He wants a growing congregation, a united congregation, a strong congregation. He doesn't want us to fall apart. He wants us to be successful. He wanted Joshua to be successful, and he wanted the new group of Israelites in the book of Deuteronomy to be successful. And so this morning, I want us to consider, to encourage us, God's formula for that success. If you turn in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, you're turning to a book that takes place on the plains of Moab. Moses is there, and a new generation of Israelites are there. They have gone through the wilderness wanderings, and they have even conquered some tribes and some nations on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And now they're parked, if you will, on the plains of Moab, looking over the Jordan River. They can look over and see Canaan land. They're about ready to go into Canaan land. What is the book of Deuteronomy? It is a book to remind them again of God's word. And so Deutero, second, and Nomos, law, the second giving of the law. Look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 1. We'll get to chapter 4 in just a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 1. These are the words of the covenant which Jehovah commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. This is the one besides that, or in addition to that. So it's called Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law, the one given beside the one that was given at Mount Sinai. The period of time is about a month, and Moses preaches, as it were, some sermons. And in those sermons, he wants God's people to be reminded not only of God's law, but as they move forward, here is the plan for success. Here is how you can succeed. He doesn't want them to get into the land of Canaan and fail. He doesn't want them to lose their faith. He wants them to succeed, and he's going to give the formula for that. Some have described, and I believe rightly so, that the book of Deuteronomy is like three sermons of Moses. If you're reading Deuteronomy 1 through 3, you're looking backward. It's historical in nature. You're looking at a review of the travels of the Israelites from Mount Sinai up to their present location. So if you're reading chapters 1 through 3, you're looking back. If you're reading chapters 4 through 26, you're looking at what not what God has done in the past, historical, but what God expects of them right now. And so present tense. And so you're looking at, that's where a number of the laws are mentioned and the repeating of the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and new laws are given. What does God expect of me right now? And then if you're reading at the end of the book, chapters 27 through 34, it's looking into the future, prophetic in nature. What does God expect of me? What God will do later when I get over into the land of Canaan? What He will or will not do? We're going to be focusing primarily in the middle part of the book, although there will be some passages that we'll be looking at toward the end. But what does God expect of me now in order to succeed? Consider the audience. The older generation of the Israelites have died in the wilderness. They were not allowed to come into the land of Canaan because of their unbelief. Those 20 years old and upward, they're dead, they're gone, they're not there anymore. This is a new group. They need to hear God's word. They're now old enough to hear God's word. They need to hear these laws, but they also need to be told that they can be successful. And so when you read the book of Deuteronomy, you find these phrases. In fact, there are six of them. Encouragements, phrases that are mentioned, and what we're going to do is we're going to look at some of these passages. And we're going to see what it is that we need to do to be successful. God is doing His part. God will do His part. But we need to do some things, and we're going to see what those things are. Sometimes God says that you may live, that it may be well with you, that your days may be long, that you may prolong your days, that you may prosper, that you may dwell in the land. Clearly, He's saying, if you do such and such, this will happen. I want you to do such and such that you may, and then it's a statement of success. But they had to do that. And we have to do that today. We're not talking about financial success. We're not talking about a nice stock portfolio. We're not talking about monetary success. We're not talking about educational success, although there's nothing wrong with getting an education. There's nothing wrong with having money. We're not talking about military success. We're not talking about political success. We're not talking about corporate success. We're talking about a right relationship with God and being faithful to Him and being rewarded by Him. That's the kind of success that we're talking about. What did Israel need to do then? What do we need to do today? I want to look then at some of these passages and some of these statements. And if along the way we see something, as I do in my life, if we see something that we need to work on, if we see something that we need to adjust, let's do that as we make this list this morning. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1, and let's begin looking at what we need to do, what God wants us to do to be successful and to go to heaven. Number one, God says that we need to obey His word. In chapter 4 and verse 1, "And now, O Israel, hearken unto the statutes and unto the ordinances which I teach you to do them, that you may live." What does it take, Lord, to be successful? What is it going to take for me to live in the land of Canaan and to go in and possess it and get what you have promise for me? You need to hearken and keep the statutes and the ordinances which I teach you to do them, and that you may live and go in and possess the land which Jehovah your God, the God of your fathers, giveth you. If you look at the history of Israel, there were times when these things actually came about. There were times when they were actually successful. I think about the book of Joshua. They were very successful in the days of Joshua. But then what about the book of Judges? No. It's like a roller coaster in Israel. There's a time in which they're successful in the days of Joshua, and then they go into the days of the judges, and they're not successful because they stop doing these things that God wants them to do. And then they get it back again in the days of the United Kingdom, David, Solomon, for the most part, that there is a success there that God wants for them, and then it falls apart during the divided kingdom of Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and eventually both the northern kingdom first and the southern kingdom going on into idolatry and being taken off the land. God wanted them to be successful, and as long as they did these things, they were. But when they stopped doing these things, they failed. And we wonder sometimes, why is it that I don't have what God wants me to have in my marriage and family? We've stopped doing what He wants us to do. And we need to get that back in our life. So number one, we need to be obedient. And you'll find this in other passages, as you'll see there on the overhead. Peter says that we are to walk as children of obedience. We need to obey God's Word if we're going to be successful in our life. We need to get our Bibles open and get it out of our hands, into our hearts, and obey that Word every day. And we need to have that for our children. We need to be children of obedience. 1 Peter 1:14. But in addition to that, read the very next verse. And this is where some struggle today. Because we live in a very loose and liberal society where strictness is not encouraged like it once was. And so we have a problem in our nation as a whole with this very next one. It's not just obedience, but listen, strict observance and obedience to the Word of God. Being one of God's children is not about just generically getting it right. Just sort of getting in the ballpark. Look at the very next verse. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish from it, that you may keep the commandments of Jehovah your God which I command you. It's not just, if you want to live, verse 1, it's not just obedience, but don't deviate from the Word of God. There is a trend among many today, and I believe, unfortunately, among some members of the church, where you'll hear something like this. God is okay if we just generally get it right. We don't have to worry about details. Why do we preach so much on details and preach so much about book, chapter, and verse and following the letter of the law and that type of thing? If we just generally get it right, listen, God's love and grace will just cover the rest of it. Just generally get it right. That's not what the Word of God teaches. Verse 2 says, don't deviate. Don't turn from the right hand or to the left, he told Joshua. Don't add to or take from the Word of God. So it's not just obedience, but strict obedience. Yes, absolutely. And we're losing that in our society today. You don't hear anything in the Word of God about just generally get it right, and God's grace will cover the rest of it. So, this principle is repeated in Proverbs, don't add to or take from. It's repeated all the way up until the end of God's Word in Revelation 22:17. Do not add to or take from the Word of God. And so that's why Bible authority is important. That's why preaching on the pattern is important. That's why preaching on details is important. Because that's a part of being successful. And that's a part, I believe, that gets left today, or it gets ignored. Our young people need to hear absolutely strict obedience to the Word of God. 2 John 9, do not go farther than the doctrine of Christ. There is a fence. Yes, you can call it a circle, a fence, a boundary. Don't go beyond that. And that's how we're successful in God's eyes. And we need to get back to thinking about that. So first of all, obedience, and yes, strict obedience. But let's keep reading. There's some other things. Look at verse 3. We need to be glued, as it were, to God. In verse 3, your eyes have seen what Jehovah did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, Jehovah thy God hath destroyed them in the midst of them. That's back in Numbers chapter 25 when they were committing sexual immorality and those types of things. But you did cleave, verse 4, but you did cleave unto Jehovah your God. We need to cleave. There doesn't need to be a loose connection with God. Our prayer life needs to be strong with God. Our reading of God's Word, our worshiping with God's people, we need to cleave to the Lord. If we have this loose connection, that's where the devil gets in and drives a wedge. Just give him just a little bit of the crack, and he gets in. And so, look at Acts 11:23, when there were new Christians there at Antioch. Barnabas shows up, and what does he encourage them to do? that with purpose of heart you cleave unto the Lord. That is to be glued to be cemented to the Lord. You have that in your life, there's going to be success. But when you give that little piece of the pie to the world or the devil, then that's the devil gets in and exploits that. So you cleave to the Lord. Be glued, as it were. Be cemented to Him. What else? Let's keep reading. Verse 4, but ye that did cleave unto Jehovah your God are alive, every one of you, this day. That's what it takes to be successful. There are some of you, back in Numbers 25, you didn't go after that sexual immorality. Do you remember when Phinehas took the spear and he thrust it through those two individuals? They were having a good time. Ooh, let's have a good time. Sexual immorality. Idolatry. Let's have a good time. But some of you, verse 4, some of you didn't do that. Some of you were cleaving to the Lord. And that's the way we need to be. But in verse 5, behold, I have taught you statutes and ordinances, even as Jehovah, my God, commanded me, that you should do so in the midst of the land, whether you go in to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples. Here's the next thing we need to consider. Our wisdom. We're not going to follow the world. And if we are in school, which is great, especially higher education, we're not going to listen to the wisdom of the PhDs and the scholars. We're here by evolution and things like that. No, not human wisdom. Our wisdom and our understanding is coming from God's Word. I am commanding you ordinances. Verse 5, if you keep them, verse 6, this is your wisdom and your understanding. There's so much today about, let's just follow what the world says. What is their understanding? We listen to movie stars. We listen to Hollywood stars. We listen to music lyrics. And we see these stories about how that people will go out and they'll do violent acts, and then some investigation was done and they were found listening to this set of lyrics or that set of lyrics. And so we're filling our minds with the wisdom of the world, and it's leading to all kinds of problems. And so Paul says in Colossians 1 and verse 9 that to be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and understanding, that's where our wisdom is going to come from. We're going to read our Bibles. We're going to follow God's Word, and that's where our wisdom is going to come from. Turn with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 16, almost reads like the daily news. Why do we have so much problem today? Because people are following the wisdom that is from below. Not the wisdom that is from above. Not the wisdom that comes from God and His Word. James 3:14, but if you have bitter jealousy and faction in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom is not a wisdom that cometh down from above, but is earthly and sensual and devilish. For where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion and every vile deed. That reads like the daily newspaper. Where is it coming from? The wisdom from below. What man thinks and feels. Confusion and every vile deed. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without variance, without hypocrisy. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6. I'm giving you my word. Keep that word. This is your wisdom and your understanding. And it will cause us to be successful. God says if you want to be successful, you need diligence in your life. There's going to come a time when you get over into the land and you're just going to be tempted to give up. You're going to be tempted to go after the ways of the world. Come down with me to verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes saw, and lest they depart from thy heart. We get to the point in our life where we forget the way we were raised. We forget what we were taught in Bible class. We forget what we've heard in all of those sermons. We forget what mom and dad told us years ago, and now we're going to do what we want to do. It takes diligence not to leave that right way. Forget. What causes us to forget? Well, I get over in the land and now I've got my house and I've got my job and I'm doing well and I get to live in a city. I don't have to live in tents anymore and move around in this dusty desert. I get to live in a city and all of a sudden, because of my material things and my material ways and my emphasis on physical things, I don't take my sacrifice down there to the tabernacle anymore. I don't honor the Sabbath day anymore. What happens? I'm forgetting those right ways. And so it takes diligence to stay on that right path. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11 that we are to give diligence to enter into our rest. At everywhere along the trip, the devil is trying to take us away. I'm encouraged by your presence this morning. Our presence here worshiping God is that diligent effort to keep the world at bay, to keep it out, and we're going to keep worshiping God like we always have. This Sunday is going to be no different than any other Sunday, and I'm encouraged by your presence because it takes diligence to keep that pattern of the world out of our life. And so he's telling us what it takes to be successful. Obedience, strict obedience, cleaving, wisdom, diligence, teaching. In verse 9, if you keep reading, lest you forget the things which your eyes saw, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but make them known unto thy children and thy children's children. The next formula for God's success is you pass this on to your family. Make them known to your children. It's not just about us, the adults. Religion's not just for the old people. Well, that's the church of my parents or the church of my grandparents. No. The way of being a Christian is for all of us. And so make them known. Turn with me to chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 1. We're going to read down through verse 4. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the ordinances which Jehovah your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go over to possess it, that thou mightest fear Jehovah. We'll come back to that in a minute. Fear Jehovah thy God to keep all of his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. He's saying, this is the formula for success. I'm telling you, here's how you have it. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that thou may increase mightily, as Jehovah the God of thy fathers hath promised unto thee, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Now look at it. Hear, O Israel, Jehovah, your God is one, Jehovah. And thou wilt love Jehovah thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And you know the rest of the passage. When you walk along the way and when you sit and in your home, I want to be successful. You want to be successful. We have to be teaching our children God's word. We teach by example. We also teach by lessons, by words, by opening up our Bible as a family and reading together. We can do our Bible class lessons together. We can go home and talk about the sermon together. We can talk about what we've learned from God's Word. And we're passing on to them those principles that will cause them to be successful spiritually in life. Let's put a premium on teaching our children. Let's put a premium on passing on God's Word to our children. And our family is just like any family, I'm sure, here represented, where there are challenges to do that. And we might have to turn the computer off and turn the TV off and maybe scale back on some of our activities. We're busy. But we have to put a premium on the teaching of God's Word, not just here at the building, but in our family. And if you'll notice in verses 6 and 7 and 8, it's in your home. It's great that we have great Bible classes here and great Bible class teachers for our children. But our primary responsibility is in the home. And let's make sure that we're doing that in our busy lives. What is God's formula for success? Well, turn with me to chapter 5 and verse 16. Honoring our parents. Chapter 5, verse 16. We call them the Ten Commandments. Number 5, honor thy father and thy mother as Jehovah thy God commanded thee, that thy days may be long. I'm trying to tell you how to be successful. That thy days may be long and that it may go well with thee in the land which Jehovah thy God giveth thee. I'm trying to tell you how to go well. And it's also going to take honoring your parents. Do you know that under the law of Moses, a disrespectful child could be stoned to death? That's how serious that was. Today, we have a grave problem of disrespect. Partly due to the young person, partly maybe due to the parents. It could be the problem on both ends. We're talking about talking back. We're talking about, I've seen young people curse their parents. You go to Walmart and you see a child cussing the parent out. Parent doesn't do a thing. Sometimes they'll laugh. Disrespect. And honor here. Paul quotes it in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, if you'll turn with me there. Honor is not just simply respect in the sense of obedience, but Jesus uses it in Matthew 15 with regard to taking care of your parents when they get older. So honor is also found in that way. But in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Look at this. For this is right. There's some things you do because it's just the right thing to do. Sometimes you say, well, why do I have to do that? It's just the right thing to do. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That statement with promise is the part back in Deuteronomy 5:16 that says that your days may be long and it may go well with thee. That's a promise. It's a promise of success. But we have to respect our parents. And parents need to raise their children to show respect and honor. If we don't demand that of them when they're little, and if we don't guide them and teach that, then we can't expect them to do that when they get older. So as parents, we have to instill that in them early. When we say no, mean it. No is not just an empty statement. When you say no, mean it. You're helping them to learn respect as they get older. And so there are going to be times, as we all know as parents, where discipline might have to come in or correction. Or we might have to punish in some kind of way. We're teaching them to love us and to respect us and to honor us. We're not just, you know, miscellaneously throwing out commands. We have a certain type of behavior that we're wanting them to have so that they can be a faithful Christian. And we're teaching them to respect that and honor that. And when you disobey, as I did when I was little, there's going to be consequences so that I can learn to respect and honor that authority and that loving authority. Parents are a loving authority. It's a promise. What is the promise? It's a promise of success. So let's, as parents, let's instill that in our children. And young people here this morning, let us respect our parents. It's a part of being successful. What else does God say? Turn with me to chapter 5 and verse 29. What is God's formula for success? Well, it includes reverence toward God. Oh, that there were such a heart in them. Deuteronomy 5:29, underscore that in your Bible. A heart, an attitude, a disposition. Oh, I just wish my people had this kind of attitude. What kind, Lord? Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments. We've seen that already. But look at the part, fear me. God is joked at today. Comedians stand up and make jokes about God, poke fun of God. Even some religions have sort of brought Him down to their level and kid around and joke around with God and have fun with God. God's cool or whatever. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28 that we are to offer up a service and a worship with reverence and awe. You know what? One of the problems, I think, with the modern day media is we've become desensitized to just about everything. Nothing awes us anymore. We see so much. And now, have you noticed in the past 10 years or so, in news reporting, that now we're showing the dead laying there on the ground? I never saw that probably more than 10 years ago. You would never see anything like that. Now, when there's a shooting and when there's some violence, they'll just show the dead people laying out there. Used to, you would only see that like in a movie and then you knew it wasn't real. Now we're showing that. And they might, you know, gray out or, you know, make a little bit of a hazy thing over the face or something, but the blood is all laying out there. We're like, oh yeah, whatever. We're getting to where we're not bothered by anything anymore. We're not surprised by anything anymore. And I'm wondering if that is happening with God. We're not awed. Whatever. We see more action on TV than we see on the pages of the Bible, so you know, what's the big deal, you know? So we're losing our reverence and respect toward God. But he's giving the point, look at verse 29, that it might be well with them. Look at the last part of the verse. That it might be well with them. What is it, Lord, that it's going to take to be successful so that I can be well? Fear me. And then look at the very next part of the verse. Keep my commandments always. There has to be a steadfastness about it. We can't be hot and cold. We can't be on and off. We can't be sometimes I do it and sometimes I don't. But I'm always going to keep the Word of God. And so we need that steadfastness in our life. Paul said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And I think that'll help us if we can plan each day, or at least each week, to do something for the Lord that will help us to always keep that in our life. Let's look at something else. Turn with me to chapter 6 and verse 18. We have to follow the right standard. Not what we want, what we think, what we feel, what looks good in our eyes. But turn with me to Deuteronomy 6. We're going to start reading in verse 16. What is right in the Lord's eyes? And that comes by reading His Word. You shall not tempt Jehovah your God, chapter 6, verse 16, as you tempted Him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of Jehovah. We've already seen diligence. Your God in the testimonies and His statutes which He commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of Jehovah, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest go in and possess the good land which Jehovah sware unto thy fathers. You have to pick what is good in the sight of the Lord. We know what happens when you don't, right? Book of Judges, what's the very last verse in the book of Judges? Every man did that which was right in what? His own eyes. The reason we're not successful is we do what we think and what we feel. And so we're seeing that in this nation with the high divorce rate, the high abortion rate, the high rate of homosexuality. It's just what I think and I feel and what's right in my eyes. We've gotten away from the standard of God's Word. Chapter 12:25, chapter 12:28,
what is right in the sight of the Lord.
Not what we think and what we feel. We're not going to take a vote on it. We're not going to have a committee. Not what the leadership wants. We studied this last week. A denominational church in Texas voted just a few weeks ago that they were going to accept homosexuality as a practice that is fine and right with them. That's not good in the sight of the Lord. It's good in the sight of man. So we're going to have to pick. And so Paul writes, as we've been studying in 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes in chapter 1 and verse 4 that we walk and that we please God. That's the key. And that's the key to success. God knows what is right for us. He made us. He made Adam and Eve. He made us. He knows what is good and right for us. He knows what is best for us with regard to sexual matters, with regard to whom we should marry. He knows what is right. We need to do what is right in His eyes. And when we don't, we have the repeating of the book of Judges. There's homosexuality in the book of Judges. There's rape in the book of Judges. There's killing in the book of Judges. There's all kinds of things like that. Because every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Is that really what you want? Is that what you want for your family? Is that what you want for yourself? Is that what we want for our nation? We've got to get back to doing what God wants and what is right in His eyes. And so the right standard. And then turn with me to chapter 16 and verse 20. We just simply need to do what is just and right. And this would be true with our family, in our business, in our affairs with others. We need to be just. No deceit, no conning, no lying, no trickery, no foolery, no trying to change what is right and wrong, but be just and fair and right. Look at chapter 16 with me, beginning in verse 18, with regard to judges. Judges and officers shalt thou make in thine gates, which Jehovah thy God giveth thee according to thy tribes. And they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. Thou shalt not wrest or twist or distort justice. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither shalt thou take a bribe. For a bribe doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow. Why, God? That thou mayest live and inherit the land which Jehovah thy God giveth thee. Do what is right all the time. Right is always right. Listen, young people. Right is always right, and wrong is always wrong. Our society wants to muddle that, and, well, there's exceptions. Right is always right, wrong is always wrong, and right and wrong are found in God's Word, and we're not going to distort that. That which is altogether just, follow it. Same thing in chapter 19, verse 13 and 25:15. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, among a number of things, think on these things, what is just. I see today, well, I'm just going to be a little deceitful, a little white lie. It's just a little, you know, a little misleading. Parents will do that with their children. Told a little fib, you know. No, no. Altogether just and fair and right. With our discipline, with the raising of our children, with our conduct at work, with our conduct at school. I'm taking a test. I'm not going to cheat. You see, what is right and fair and just. That's a part of being successful. Humility. Turn with me to chapter 17 and verse 20. This is with respect to the king, but it would be true with all of Israel. The king is supposed to act a certain way and he's to have God's word in his life. And look at verse 20. He shall read, he shall fear the Lord, he shall keep the words and do them. Verse 20, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in the kingdom. What does it take to be successful? A man or a woman who will not lift up their heart. And we read later in the book of Kings where there were certain kings, the text says, and his heart was lifted up. And then what happened? he engaged in some sort of unauthorized act, like Uzzah, or idolatry, or something along those lines. We think we can do what we want. We've got to have humility. The Lord resists the proud, but He will give grace to the humble. And so, James 4:10, 1 Peter 3:8, 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6, we have to have humility. Have you ever thought about what causes us to lift our heart up? You ever thought about that? What causes you to just say, well, I don't have to do what God says. Here's a few things. Good health. Good job. Things are going great at work. Things are going great in my personal health. Making money. Paying all the bills. Got a nice car. Got a nice home. You know, things are going pretty well for me. Maybe I don't have to do what this particular verse says right now. So things get going well, and then our heart gets lifted up. But God says, if you want to live long in the land, you need to be someone who is full of humility. You need to love God. Look at chapter 30 and verse 6 as we sort of come down toward the close of these thoughts. We need to love God with all of our heart. And loving God with all your heart, put all of it into that. And that's what Jesus quotes in Matthew 22 and verse 27. What is the greatest commandment? To love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. Put your all into it. And we'll be successful. Love Jehovah your God with all your heart. It's the same thing. That it may go well with thee. That you may live long in the land and so forth. Make the right choices. Chapter 30 and verse 19. God says, choose life. He's talking about those following the commandments that lead to spiritual living. Choose life that it may go well with thee. Chapter 30, verse 19. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6 that if we walk according to the flesh, there's death. If we walk according to the Spirit, there's life. We have to make a choice. Do we do what we want and what we think and what we feel, the flesh? Or do we follow the words of the Spirit that leads to life? Making the right choices and teaching our children to make the right choices. And then finally, and the lesson is yours, look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. We're used to hearing, set your mind on things that are above. God said in chapter 32 and verse 46 that if you want to live well and live long in the land and you want to prosper, set your heart on following the commandments. Focus. Prioritize what is important in life. Paul would put it this way, set your mind on things that are above. Moses said, set your heart. Set your heart to follow God's word and you'll live long in the land. Well, God wants you to succeed. He wants me to succeed. And maybe this morning you need to begin that. Maybe you saw in there something that you need to work on. Is it our humility? Is it more love? Is it coming back to the right standard? Is it teaching our children? Is it the strict obedience? What is it? Whatever it is, let's do that. God is laying it out. He's giving us that formula, if you will. He's laying it out there. This is what you can do to live and be well. And I believe that that is recorded for our admonition so that we can do that today. There may be someone here this morning that needs to begin your spiritual success by coming and obeying the gospel. We're coming back in some way. God doesn't want you to fail. He doesn't want us to fail. He's not up in heaven hoping that we're going to fail and fall and falter. He's laying out that plan, but we have to do our part. And if our part this morning is coming and obeying Him, we would encourage you to do that. As we stand and sing this song of invitation, think about what God gives us. Think about what He wants for us. And let's do that and be pleasing to Him. If you're subject in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?